game is brought to you in part by Dairy Queen. Remember, it's not fast food, it's fan food. Education First, serving Ohio Dominican and the education community in Ohio. Nationwide Children's Hospital Sports Medicine, giving every athlete the opportunity to perform at the highest level. Ohio Dominican University, the search for truth happens here. Sodexo, quality of daily life solutions. St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
A pulse, going for a deep ball over the middle, and that's intercepted by Justin Bell right at midfield. Justin Bell gets his first interception of the season, his fifth of his career.
From Fawcett Stadium in Canton, Ohio, overlooking the glorious Pro Football Hall of Fame, where it's a great day to be a Panther, we welcome you to game number 10 for Ohio Dominican football, as today the 8th-ranked Panthers with a record of 9-0 will take on the Malone Pioneers, a record of 2-8. Hi again, everybody, alongside Matt Natale. This is Todd Bell. Charlie Danis will be alongside us at the studios of the St. Gabriel Catholic Radio with updates all afternoon long, including that key matchup today between Saginaw Valley and Grand Valley State. The Panthers are coming off a historic Saturday last week as they defeated Lake Erie 62-21, racking up a school record 727 yards of total offense. Mark Miller threw for 395 yards and 4 touchdowns, while the Panther defense limited the nation's number one overall offense to just 395 yards of total offense. For Malone, they are coming off a loss against the Findlay Oilers by the final score of 35-21. The coaches today for Ohio Dominican, it is head coach Bill Connolly. He is in his 4th season of guiding the Panthers, a record of 25-15. For the Malone Pioneers, Eric Heyman is their coach, a graduate of Taylor University back in 1994 in his 4th season with a record of 10-31. Meeting number 7 between the two schools, the Panthers have won 5 out of 6, including last year, 56-7 at Panther Field. ODU had 468 yards of total offense on that day, while the defense forced 4 turnovers and had 13 tackles for loss, and Brad McCurdy had 2 interceptions in that game. Panthers in the road white uniforms today. Pants and tops, black numerals with yellow trim, the flat black headgear with the yellow D-paw on the side. Malone with very busy uniforms, navy blue, lots of red on the shoulder pads, red numerals trimmed in white, gray headgear with the Pioneer logo on the side. Panthers will be kicking off. Brent Wally to our right will send it in the air, and this one will be fielded near the 5-yard line. Taking up the right side of the hash marks and working forward for Malone out near the 20-yard line will be Josh McLaughlin, and this is where we'll see the Pioneer offense come out onto the field for the first time today. And the quarterback today, we suspect, is going to be Brandon Eckert. He is a junior quarterback. He has completed 50% of his passes for 755 yards and 7 touchdowns. Will Spohr, who has been generally their starting quarterback throughout the season, he is potentially out for today. We may see him, but he's been their starting quarterback the last couple of years. They will open up out of a offset eye pistol formation. They'll bring a man in motion here. That is Ricardo Bell on first down. Malone scrimmaging from the 21-yard line, moving left to right, and they'll run speed option on first down, and the quarterback, Eckert's going to keep. He'll make his way over the 25 and out of bounds near the 26-yard line. This offensive line with Vesco, the junior center, Chris Davis and Charles Lennon are the guards, with Fred Clearman and Brenton Ennis the 2 tackles. We'll see a plethora of running backs and wide receivers throughout the day, including Josh McLaughlin, Jordan Phillips, Damian Russell, and A.T. Turner, and running back Justin Davis. They'll go empty backfield here on second down and 4. Football out near the 27-yard line after Malone settled in. They now will look to the near sideline and get the signal from the sideline. And now Brandon Eckert will take the shotgun snap, looks to his right, feels a little pressure, and runs right into the teeth of the Panther defense and will be sacked back near the 25-yard line as Mason Sawicki, freshman out of Dublin Scioto, gets up off the bottom of the pile.
Yeah, Todd, we've seen such an amazing job by this defensive line in the last few weeks. Of course, 33 sacks this year, tied for second in the conference, and another nice job right there to get the Pioneers here at third down.
A little jersey work being done to the quarterback Eckert after that sack, and he'll work now with the football back inside the 25-yard line. They have to get to the 31 for a first. Eckert looking left, throws that way, and Sidney Omame will bat down another pass. The 6'4 sophomore out of Centennial High School has become very good at getting those arms up into the air and redirecting passes, and a three and out for Malone will give the football to the Panthers.
Yeah, another nice job by Omame there at the defensive line position. Of course, this season he's got 10 tackles for a loss and 6.5 sacks, so we've seen a lot of good things out of him here, and expect more as the game goes on and the postseason.
Frank DeFore does their punting. He is a junior, averaging 38 yards a kick, takes a high snap. Panthers are coming, and they get it. They block it, and it makes its way downfield. We'll check up near the 30-yard line and be down right there. Either Cody Culbertson or Daytuan Harris got it. I think it was Harris on the block, and it was the high snap that set it up.
Yeah, it's going to go down in the scorebook as a 7-yard punt, and the Panthers are going to start out here with tremendous field position on the Pioneers' 31-yard line and see what we can get going here on offense after that record-setting performance last week.
And led by quarterback junior Mark Miller out of Elder High School in Cincinnati, the reigning offensive player of the week in the conference. Comes in completing 69% of his passes on the year. Mark Nichols will open up as the I-back on first down. He ran right into the back of Nate Weeks and will surge forward and pick up a yard. To finish up on Mark Miller, he is fourth in the conference in yards per game, third in touchdowns with 20. Mark Nichols gets the first carry of the day, playing in his 32nd game as a Panther, averaging over 5 yards, there, almost 6 yards per carry. He's got 1,057 on the season. Second down and 9 from the 30. Miller will roll to his right, looks downfield, throws to Nate Weeks, catches the 28, moves forward over the 25, down to the 23-yard line, where it'll be third down and short for the Panthers. The senior out of Marysville, a touchdown a week ago to give him 2 on the season. That's his 11th catch of the year and over 100 yards receiving for Nate Weeks. The remainder of the receivers, Des Stewart, sophomore out of Walnut Hills, Ronald McLeod, sophomore out of Cleveland Shaw, and Abe Johnson, a junior out of Taft. They'll go 2 tight ends here. They'll bring McLeod in motion on 3rd down and 2. Nichols behind Miller out of the pistol will get the handoff. Straight through the middle, he's got the first down as he'll get to the 20 and got it by a yard. And this offensive line, Matt, of Michael Kelke up front the center, Perrin Cunningham on the left guard, Jared Howard is the left tackle. Panthers today again will give Gian Selman the start, captain on the right-hand side, and Jake Brandt the tackle, the staple. They have been outstanding this year.
Yeah, only allowed 4 sacks this season on Mark Miller, and this week was named Unit of the Week by BSN Sports.
First and 10 from the 20, and Miller fake on the run, rolls near side, throws to Stewart, catches the 15, over the 10, down to the 3-yard line. Panthers will have first and goal, and another good strike from Mark Miller, who's picking up right where he left off last week.
Yeah, getting Des Stewart involved in the action early, 6'2", 190-pound sophomore, as you said, Todd, from Walnut Hills. 5 touchdowns on the season, averaging about 16.3 yards per catch.
First down and goal for the Panthers. Nichols will sweep to the left. He'll get to the end zone and walk in untouched. Nate Weeks throwing a great block. Des Stewart a good block on the outside. And all Mark Nichols had to do was walk right between him into the end zone for a 3-yard touchdown run.
Yeah, that was a textbook run out to the left there for the Panthers. And I don't think I've ever seen a running back go that wide open through the hole. I think either you or I could have gotten through there into the end zone. But nice start for the Panthers on offense, getting to the end zone and get some points on the board early.
Ninth touchdown run of the season for Mark Nichols. That gives him now 23 in his career. He is second on the career rushing touchdown list for Ohio Dominican. And you may have heard the whistles in the background as the Pioneers came crashing through the ODU line. Now, did somebody move to draw them? I don't think so. Referee looking to the Panther side, asking if they want it moved forward. The Panthers will say no, so they'll decline it. Tyler Bowman, front of the Malone line, jumps offside, and Wally will be back out there to try the extra point. 37 out of 38 on the season for Brent Wally. He's missed only 2 in his 2-year career here with the Panthers. Mikey Snyder will put it down, and Wally bangs it through, and we've got a timeout on the field. 11:50 to play first quarter. It is Ohio Dominican 7, Malone nothing on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Nationwide Children's Hospital Sports Medicine provides a unique understanding of the physical demands placed on today's athletes. We're specially trained to prevention, diagnosis, and treatment of injuries in recreational, competitive, and elite athletes. We also have a comprehensive team of specialists completely dedicated to the care and management of concussions. Our goal is to give every athlete the opportunity to perform at the highest level. To include Nationwide Children's sports medicine on your team. Call 355-6000 or visit nationwidechildrens.org/sportsmedicine.
This is Charlie Dance back in the St. Gabriel Catholic Radio studios. The Cavaliers are still giving the Finley Oilers some trouble as Walsh continues to lead Finley 14-9 with 11:24 to go in the second quarter. Cavaliers quarterback Jason Fracassa with two passing touchdowns in that game. Let's now head back out to Fawcett Stadium and rejoin Todd Bell and Matt Natale.
And Brent Wally is all set to kick it away here for Ohio Dominican, and we'll send it down the field to A.T. Turner, who will field it right at the goal line. He'll move forward to the 10, out to the 15, and over the 20-yard line and drug out of bounds by Ronnell Spates. So the Panther defense, which held Malone to a three and out, will come back out onto the field here for the second time, and we'll see this Malone offense and see if they can get anything generated. But Matt, the defense for the Panthers just continues to improve week to week.
Yeah, I mean, they're right up at the top of the conference in the GLIAC in most of the major categories, in rush defense, pass defense, number one in the league in rush defense, and four in pass defense, and number one in points allowed. So I think that really has been the bell cow here for this Panthers team this season.
Brandon Eckert out there at quarterback. He will send Josh McLaughlin in motion, and the Panthers come crashing from the end, and a combination of Billy Akins and Datewan Harris with a sack of Eckert, who out of the shotgun had no time.
No. They were right in his back pocket off the snap. They timed that perfectly. They were approaching the line, showing blitz the whole way. And as soon as the ball was snapped, timed it perfectly. Akins got around the running back who was coming over here towards the near side and scooted right by him. And they just, they crunched Eckert. Mm. He went down hard.
Loss all the way back to the 17-yard line. It'll be second down. They'll bring McLaughlin in motion into the backfield. They'll hand it off up the middle and a run out near the 20-yard line. And let's see, as they unpile, that is Justin Davis, a sophomore running back who had the carry, averaging about 5.5 yards per carry and 7 touchdowns on the season.
Number 96.
They are a little banged up in the running back position. They apparently are without Steve Nidweasel, a running back for them. And it'll bring up third down at about 11 now for ODU. Out of the shotgun for Eckert. Two receivers to his left. They have to get out to the 32-yard line. Eckert will throw near side, and it's going to be caught. Turner's got it and the first down as he just got enough yardage for the first down. In fact, that's Jordan Phillips, a freshman wide receiver, making that catch for the first down.
That looked like Dominic Clegg was in there on the tackle. He kind of made a move on the ball, and that might have been why the Pioneers were able to get the completed pass in the first down. Clegg was looking for the interception, and but the Pioneers were able to pick up the first down.
Having it left to right, they get their first down of the game. 10:09 to play here in the first quarter. Panthers lead 7-0 as Eckert and the offense look over here to the near side for the play call. Phillips will be the receiver here on the near side. Play clock is down to 3. Eckert now, as everybody settles, McLaughlin comes in motion, and they didn't get the playoff in time. How long does it take to look to the sideline to get a play?
Yeah, and I noticed this on the last play, Todd, where they got the first down, that they were taking a long time there up on the line. And, you know, unfortunately for Malone, that's not really the game. I don't think that plays too well into their offensive game plan.
Well, at the very least, I think they may want to try and shorten the game by running the play clock down a little bit, but you got to get the play off.
Yeah.
Got to have some confidence in your offense. So it'll be first and 15 now with the football back at the 29-yard line. Eckert will set the line. He's got two receivers left and one over here to the near side. And they will hand it off. And this is Justin Davis, and not a lot of room as he goes to the left. And, boy, you just see the defensive line for Ohio Dominican is right now just dominating. It'll be second down. Luke Carruthers will check out. Paul Wesselhoff will come in for ODU. Wesselhoff, redshirt freshman out of Logan, that had a great first 4 games of the season and then suffered a broken foot in practice the game after Walsh and is just getting back for the first time here today. Harrison and Omame are out there as well for the Panthers defensive line. Warren Shields and Nico Tanksley are the linebackers, and they'll go 5 DBs here with Akins, Bell, McCurdy, and Cody Culbertson in the secondary. 7 on the play clock now as Brandon Eckert will work with an empty backfield. Phillips will go in motion. They will give it, fake it on the jet sweep. Quarterback will keep, and Eckert will be swung around by Mason Sawicki. It'll be a gain of 6, 3rd and 9 coming up for the Pioneers.
I actually thought that was a nice play call by Malone. It had me fooled. I saw that jet sweep running out, the fake to the jet sweep running out on the far side, and they were able to get a couple yards on the fake, but that's why I'm not out there on the defensive line. It didn't fool the Panthers.
Third down, Malone is set. Eckert. Now we'll have the line look over to the sideline for the play. 17 on the play clock. Pioneers on third down this year. They are 43%, which ranks 7th in the conference. Third down and 9, they have to get to the 44. And it'll be Eckert to throw, and his quick pass is incomplete. Again, trying to hit Jordan Phillips. Good coverage on the play by Daquan Harris, who played a whale of a game in the secondary last week for ODU. And after one first down, Malone will punt the football away.
Yeah, Daquan Harris in there on the coverage is step for step with the receiver. And I think you put it perfectly, Todd. Had a whale of a game last week. Had a lot of passes batted down, and that's about what you can expect from the 6 foot, 180-pound sophomore out of Cleveland Glenville.
A little better snap to DeFore this time, but the Panthers blocked another one. This one is going to move forward down near the 45-yard line. I don't know if it was blocked or if he punted it off of the shoulder pad of one of his blockers.
Yeah. Either way, it's going to end up being about a 10-yard punt. So he's the special teams kicking game punting unit for Malone is kind of having a rough start so far. They're averaging about 8 yards per punt. So, again, good field position for the Panthers. It's their second time out here on offense. They're at the Malone 40, we'll call it the 44-yard line, and they're in good position to get some more points on the board here in the first quarter.
Cody Culbertson got his hand around the defender and got a hand on that football, and the Panthers will have it at the 45. And Brandon Schoen on first down tried to tippy-toe down the sideline. It's going to be a gain of about, where did he step out? I guess he stepped out at the 40 or 38-yard line, so a shorter gain than we thought. But Brandon, on his first carry, trying to get down that sideline, closing in on 1,000 yards for the season, and it'll bring up second down in about 4 now for ODU. They'll go with 2 in the backfield, Nichols and Schoen, splitting either side of Mark Miller. No tight end, 3 wide receivers. Miller looks to throw, bubble screen here to Abe Johnson. Reverses field to the near side, 35-30, and knocked out of bounds near the 25-yard line. That'll be a gain of 12 to the junior out of Taft, Abe Johnson, 53 catches coming in for 551 yards.
Yeah, Brandon Schoen actually opened up that play for Abe. He got the nice block on Brandon Commodore there. Of course, Commodore has 64 tackles on the year, leads the team, so nice job by Brandon Schoen to break that wide open.
And on first down, the give will be to Schoen. Sweeps to his right, turns upfield to the 20-yard line, and that'll be a gain of about 4. Brandon coming in had 889 yards rushing, so you'd really like to get him over 1,000 for the season if he can have a Brandon Schoen-like day here today.
Yeah, believe it or not, we had 2 100-yard rushers last week, and one of them's name was not Brandon Schoen, which was kind of a surprise, but it was good to see Ronnell Spates get over the century mark along with Mark Nichols, and Schoen was right around in the 80s, so I know he's probably chomping at the bit and smelling blood in the water for that 1,000-yard rushing season.
We've got a stoppage of play with a down Pioneer. DeMarco Donaldson, a defensive back for Malone on the far side of the field, was on one knee and now has laid down as they're going to tend to him. That's the last thing Malone can suffer, especially offensively where they have a ton of injuries right now, but also on the defense. 7 minutes to go first quarter. Panthers lead 7-0 and have the ball at the Malone 21-yard line, and that's where they'll have it when we scrimmage here. You look at the totals for Brandon Schoen, and they're very nice. 143 carries, 889 yards, over 6 yards per carry, and he's ninth in the conference in yards per game. But a couple of nagging injuries for Brandon. He's sat out a couple of halves of games because of that. The total would be much more. But, I mean, you look at those numbers and you think, boy, Brandon probably could be a 1,500-yard back if not for the nagging injuries. How lucky are the Panthers to have Mark Nichols to pick up the slack?
Yeah, I mean, there's just kind of a wealth at that position for the Panthers. They're very lucky to have two running backs that could very well be over 1,000 yards for the season after the final whistle today. And you got the seniority of Mark Nichols and sort of his protege and Brandon Schoen. And And they've really become the two-headed monster there in the rushing game, and it's been nice to see this season develop.
So second down now, and they'll give to Brandon Schoen. Tries to sidestep to the outside, 20, 15 to the 10, knocked out of bounds at the 9-yard line. Gain of 12 for Brandon Schoen, and that's that deceptive little burst of speed that Schoen has, and we saw it right there to give him a first down.
Yeah, that seems to be his favorite run right there, where they force him out to the sideline, and once he hits the edge and sees a little bit of green pastures ahead of him, he hits the edge, turns the corner, and puts it in another gear.
First down and 10 from the 13-yard line of Malone. Same play. Schoen sweeping to the right. Cuts it up to the 10. He's in. Touchdown. Just like that. 13 yards. Brandon Schoen. Panthers lead 13-0.
Yeah, stick with what works. We've seen it work so many times this year where they stretch the field like that, sideline to sideline, and you know, nice job by the receivers and defense, or I'm sorry, the offensive line to get the blocks in there and open up the field for Brandon Schoen to get some room to run and get into the end zone. We've seen it a lot of times this year, and, you know, I wouldn't expect to see anything different today.
Seventh rushing touchdown of the season and 18th of the career for Brandon Schoen as Brent Wally attempts the extra point. It is up, and it is good. Timeout on the field with 6:33 to play. First quarter from Fawcett Stadium in Canton. It's Ohio Dominican 14. Malone nothing on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Education First Credit Union is dedicated to the financial needs of the faculty, staff, and students of Ohio Dominican University, as well as teachers and school employees throughout the education community in Ohio. We offer great rates on loans and savings products, including some just for educators. Check us out on the web at educu.org to learn about the 30 Central Ohio branches and 50 free ATMs that make Education First Credit Union so convenient. Federally insured by the NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
We're back here in the St. Gabriel Catholic Radio Studios. Who needs a running back when you have a quarterback like Jason Vanderlyn? He's been able to give Ferris State a 28-10 lead over Northern Michigan with 28 seconds to go in the second quarter. Four total touchdowns for Vanderlyn, three of them of the rushing variety. Now back out to Fawcett Stadium where we rejoin Todd Bell and Matt Natale.
Well, another short field touchdown. The Panthers have blocked two punts already today. They have two touchdowns as a result of it. And Wally's short kickoff will be fielded near the 26-yard line. And a little return here out near the 39. And I do believe that is, well, that is a 9. I thought it was a 5. And that is Brock Luton on the return. So it'll be Malone's with their best starting field position at the 39-yard line, but they've had a tough time getting out of their own way here early on.
See if they try to change their strategy a little bit here, Todd, and maybe kind of hurry up the offense a little bit and get in a better rhythm. They're a little bit sluggish and not on the same page their first couple series.
First down and 10, Ohio Dominican, or Malone, I should say. Sunshine is out here at Fawcett Stadium. A little slightly different day here today than it was when we were here for Walsh back in October. Handoff up the middle. This is Justin Davis. He's got a little room out to midfield and to the Panther 46-yard line. Nice little run for sophomore Justin Davis, and that'll give Malone a first down, and they're in Panther territory for the first time.
Cody Culbertson, we've called his name so many times this season. He was right there in on the play for the tackle to stop the big gain on the ground for Malone, and first time, as you said, in Ohio Dominican Panther territory.
Justin Davis, a product of Detroit, Michigan, actually spent some time at Grand Valley State. First down and 10, ball at the Ohio Dominican 46-yard line, closing in on 6 minutes to play in our first quarter. Eckert will throw near side for McLaughlin and just shot it right past him. Everything Eckert does looks slightly robotic, and he throws the ball with very little touch. All three of his passes have been rockets.
I don't know, and that's a tough pass to make. When you got the player coming out of the backfield like that or coming across, you're kind of trying to hit him on an angle, but you're right. It's like he's trying to throw some Aroldis Chapman fastballs out there.
Eckert, he is from Mountain Lake Terrace, Washington. Sounds like an apartment complex. Handoff to Justin Davis up the middle, and Justin Bell will bring him down along with DeAndre Harrison at the Panther 41-yard line. That's a gain of 5, and it'll be 3rd and 5 for Malone. Go ahead.
I was going to say big third down here for the Panthers to try to stop what little momentum they might be having on this drive and get the ball back in the hands of the offense. And, you know, I would say that they have pretty big confidence in themselves right now so far.
Third down play coming up now for Malone. They'll bring McLaughlin in motion. He'll circle into the backfield. They'll hand it off to Davis, and he's forward for the first down to the 35-yard line. Davis is a big gent. He's listed 5'8", 200. It's a little bigger than that. And a good little run for Davis will give him another first down.
And Davis looks like more like a linebacker out there.
He does. So it'll be first down and 10 now for the Pioneers, their best sustained drive so far here in the first quarter. That's down to 5 minutes to play. Panthers lead 14-0. Single back is Davis. Again, McLaughlin circles into the backfield. Eckert will throw to McLaughlin, and it went right out of bounds, which is a good thing because Billy Akins had perfect coverage on McLaughlin circling out of the backfield.
Yeah, there was that play again that we saw a couple plays ago where they brought him out of the backfield, McLaughlin, and tried to hit him on kind of a funky angle. This time the Panthers had it covered. And we are second down and 10 at the Panthers 35.
Pioneers moving left to right here in this first half into a little bit of a breeze. Again, like we had here that game against Walsh earlier in the season, the flags on the top of the stadium are moving pretty rapidly. Then the markers on the goalposts, especially to our right, are barely even moving. So you wonder what it's like on the field. Second down and 10. Eckert thought about running. Wesselhoff was there. Harrison's got a hold of him and sack him back at the 38-yard line. Boy, oh boy. Eckert thought he had a little bit of a seam, and actually it was Mason Sawicki who was right in his grill, and then Harrison was happy to clean it up.
Yeah, he was trying to get up there on the left side, and Sawicki, he saw a big old white jersey right in front of him, kind of chained, had to change his plan, and DeAndre Harrison was right in there to do the mop-up duty and get the sack and drop him for a loss.
ODU tied for second in the conference with 33 sacks coming in, averaging 3.5 sacks per game. They've got 3 in the first quarter today. And on third down, they cross up the Panthers with a draw up the middle, and Davis will pound his way to the first down marker at the 25-yard line. Boy, good job by the Malone offensive line, opening up a gaping hole that time for Davis, and the Pioneers convert on third and long.
Yeah, you wonder if the Panthers were anticipating pass there on third and long, because they kind of had some guys drop back down there in the secondary, and wonder if they might have been a little bit fooled on that play with the running play, the Pioneers opting to run the ball on third and long instead of pass.
So first down and 10 now for Malone. They've got the football at the Ohanomenican 25-yard line. McLaughlin circles in motion to the backfield again, and he'll hand to Davis, and the back up the middle, and he'll pound his way to the 20. Nico Tanksley on the bottom of the pile, senior out of Walnut Ridge in Columbus, playing in his 32nd game of his career here today. One of the leading tacklers on defense, kind of an all-around good linebacker. And he and Warren Shields, Dominic Clegg, have made up that linebacking core with a lot of Martavius Lewis as well. Second down, and we'll call it 5. Coming up now for Malone, football at the 20-yard line. ODU leads 14-0 here in the first quarter. 2 in the backfield for Eckert. They'll run option to the right. Eckert's in a lot of trouble now. Reverses his field. Now he's got some room to the 15, to the 10. Panthers try and close in, and Justin Bell will come around across the field and make the tackle inside the 5-yard line. Boy, I thought for a second Eckert was in a world of trouble when there were 4 white shirts staring him in the face, but he had a little bit of an angle and a little more speed than those defensive linemen.
Yeah.
And a nice run for Eckert to make it first and goal.
Yeah, kind of a busted play that ended up becoming positive for the Pioneers. They brought the heat, and it looked like he actually was going to scramble and then kind of was going to set his feet to run and then had to reverse field. And usually quarterbacks are faster than their defensive lineman counterparts, and that's why he was able to outrun the pressure and get down here towards the goal line.
So the Pioneers, averaging 30 points a game, have it first and goal, and it'll be Eckert. Quarterback keeps on the option and scores. Touchdown for Brandon Eckert. A 5-yard run, we'll actually call it a 4-yard run for Eckert, his 5th rushing touchdown of the season. And the Malone Pioneers put together a nice drive and come up with their first points of the day.
Yeah, it looks like 2 different Malone teams than what we saw from the first couple of drives compared to this one. They were a little bit more crisp on their offense and were able to complete some big plays and convert on a couple third downs to march down the field and get into the end zone.
Derek Sawyer, a redshirt freshman, will trot out and try the point after. He's 11 out of 12 on the season. Got a handful of place kickers, and the Panthers will block this. This is returnable. Daytwon Harris has got it, and I don't think they're going to catch him. He's got a wall of blockers, and Daytwon Harris is going to return the blocked extra point for 2 points for the Panthers. And we've now seen it all this year.
Well, how about this, Todd? We've got two blocked punts in the first quarter, and now we have a blocked extra point taken to the house for a touchdown.
2 point conversion. So the Panthers will get 2 points for that and now lead 16-6.
There's the 2 points, right.
And Sports Information Director Scott Miles, without looking at a piece of paper, said that's the first in school history. And I believe him right now, too.
Well, Scotty, you knew that off the top of your head, huh?
I've seen every game since the middle of 2007, and I didn't see it then. So unless it happened between 04 and the middle of 07.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Not in person.
Uh-uh.
How about that? So the Pioneers get six and end up only gaining 4 points. As now it's 16-6, Ohio Dominican with 2:21 to play in the first quarter. Panther fans, are you a member of the Black and Gold Club? Well, this organization is dedicated to providing financial support for intercollegiate athletics at Ohio Dominican University and helping Panther student athletes, coaches, and athletic department staff achieve success on and off the field of play. To become a member of the Black and Gold Club, please visit the ODU Athletics website or call 251-4643. So the touchdown run by Eckerds, and then the Panthers blocked the extra point toward the sideline, and it was scooped up by Harris, and he had about four blockers out in front that easily took care of the two Pioneers trying to catch him. And it's now 16-6, and a squib kick will be finally gobbled up by Abe Johnson at the 25-yard line, and he'll return it out to the 36. So it'll be first down Panthers with 2:15 to play in the first quarter.
Yeah, just getting back one final thought on that bizarre play, Todd. I was kind of concerned since that basically never happens. I was worried about a penalty down the field on the return and, some kind of fluke holding and the special teams trying to gather their senses and figure out what was going on. And fortunately, that didn't happen, and we were able to get essentially what was a safety. And, it's a four-point play and get the ball back here on offense and try to get a traditional score here.
Well, how about the Panthers have their third offensive possession of the day? It's their own 36, and it's the first time they've started in their own territory. Mm-hmm. Swing out pass to Brandon Schoen off to the right. He'll be ridden out of bounds on the far sideline, and a penalty marker is going to come on. They're going to tack on 15 more to the end of that. Schoen never went down, but Brandon Commodore was a little bit exuberant with his efforts in shoving Schoen out of bounds. And unless this is something that I saw, it was something different. And it is a late hit out of bounds. So it was a gain of 3 on the pass. They'll tack on 15 to the end of it, and the Panthers will now have it in Malone territory. So they didn't spend very much time in their own territory on offense there.
Yeah, just one down and right back here in Pioneer territory. And unfortunately, those tackles out of bounds don't go on the stat sheet. Hmm. So we got 15 extra yards here and first down and pretty much all the momentum, I would say. Even though Malone pretty much marched down the field and scored, we got that return on the extra point and have the lead and the ball back.
From the 46 of Malone, Brandon Schoen knifes his way through the middle and just picked up 14 more yards as he's finally dropped at the 31-yard line. Now way behind the play, the referee has thrown a flag. And the flag is down at the 45, which is about 14 yards from where the run ended. And he has got a holding penalty here against ODU. Panthers come in terms of yards, the 12th most penalized team in the conference at 56 yards per game on 59 infractions. And a rare holding penalty here against ODU, and this is going to march it all the way back to the Ohio Dominican 46-yard line.
I don't know if the flag got stuck in his pocket or what, because that came in way late and way behind the play.
So the Panthers will still have first down, but it's first and 18 now. And the Pioneers jump offside. No markers are down. Miller's going to go deep down the right sideline for Casey Williams, and he dives and can't come up with it. He got a little bit tangled up with the defender, Deshaun Anderson, and just couldn't quite get to that football. And, boy, after the way that Mark Miller threw so effectively in that typhoon-type winds last week, we had a Panther field, you just expect every one of them is going to be right on the money.
Right. Yeah, it was Gliak Player of the Week, Offensive Player of the Week for his performance last week. And was it 395 mm-hmm. yards and four touchdowns. And out threw the receiver on that one. Maybe he was just so used to throwing into the wind last week that he put a little extra mustard on it. But, you know, I also think he might have been anticipating a flag on that play with the defensive line mm-hmm. jumping. It might have kind of threw him off a little bit.
I agree. 137 to play in the quarter. Mark Nichols back in there, gets the handoff. Stutter steps his way into the line. We'll drag a tackler to around the 48-yard line of Malone. And the Panthers will have third down and about 11, maybe 12, coming up. So the Nichols run will get them some yardage back. And they will have it here at the 48-yard line. Panthers with the 14-game win streak, trying to match a school record 15 here today. Still has the nation's longest win streak. And looking to try and convert here on third down and 12. They have to get to the 36 of Malone. Miller rolls out. Deep ball downfield for Dez Stewart, who's behind the defender, makes the catch and tackled at the 5-yard line. He got in behind LaPierre Smith and a completion of 43 yards down to the 4.
Yeah, Mark Miller under a little bit of duress there, and I think he knew he wanted to go to Dez Stewart the whole way and just kind of heaved it up as he was getting pressured, and the pass was on the money. Unfortunately, Dez Stewart got a little hobbled on that play, and he comes off the field. He's limping a little bit. Hopefully it's just nothing serious.
All right, Casey Williams will replace him in the lineup. First and goal from the 4. Miller back corner of the end zone for Ronald McLeod, and he overshoots him and out of bounds. It'll be second down and goal now from the 4-yard line with 31 seconds to play in the first quarter.
Second and goal.
And now Jared Butler will come in. Abe Johnson will check out, so the Panthers will get a little bit bigger lineup here. Already 2 rushing touchdowns today, 1 for Nichols, 1 for Schoen. It is Nichols who will be in the backfield here as Nate Weeks will line up tight end left, Butler tight end right. From the left hash mark, second and goal from the 4. And it's Ronald McLeod coming in motion. They'll fake it to him. Miller was going to keep, and a penalty marker has been thrown, and the Panthers moved. Now, Miller doesn't have a rushing touchdown this year. Jared Howard will be called for the movement. And Butler will check back out, and Abe Johnson will check back in. And the Panthers' offense is backed up now to the 9. Second down and goal. Williams and Abe Johnson right. McLeod over here to the near side. Nichols will line up behind Miller out of the pistol formation. And Mark on second down will give to Nichols. Sweeping to the right. Cuts up to the 10, to the 5. Pyle still moving forward. So is Mark Nichols into the end zone for a 9-yard touchdown run. Well, he just stayed persistent yeah. by moving forward and keeping the legs going and easily into the end zone for his second touchdown run of the day.
Yeah, I think just about every Pioneer defender on that play got a hand on him, but it wasn't enough. As you said, dragged the pile there, was able to push forward and get into the end zone. The 10th touchdown of the season for Mark.
And Brent Wally out again to try the extra point with 22 seconds to play in the first quarter. Good snap by Tyler Hayes. Snyder puts it down, and Wally bangs it through again. And with 22 seconds to play now here in the first quarter, it is Ohio Dominican 23 and Malone 6. Well, the Panthers trying to wrap up another perfect regular season. It would be the second in school history. Did that back in 2007. Qualified for the NAIA playoffs. And after winning a home playoff game, lost at home in the second round. Panthers, if they win today, taking care of business, would, for all likelihood, qualify for the Division II playoffs. The official announcement will come tomorrow at 5 p.m. as there is a live NCAA selection show of the 4 regions, the 24 teams that will qualify, and the final seeding of those teams. Coming into this weekend, Ohio Dominican in Region 4, still sitting in that number 2 spot. The top 3 have not changed in the regional rankings since they came out 3 weeks ago. CSU Pueblo has been number 1. Ohio Dominican has been number 2. and Saginaw Valley has been number three. Now, behind them, it has volleyed around several times, and there will be much more movement after today's action is completed. Wally's kickoff is away. A.T. Turner will take it at the goal line, coming up the right hash marks to the 15 and tripped up out over the 20-yard line. And some extracurriculars after the play. Everything is all settled. It'll be Malone football. But to finish on that thought, right now the number three team, Saginaw Valley, is playing the number five team, Grand Valley. So somebody is going to lose there, and there will be some shuffling. And if you go back just a little ways, you've got the number eight team, West Texas A&M, is playing Midwestern State, and they're the number nine team.
Right.
So one of those two teams winning could vault themselves forward enough based on what happens with Grand Valley. And also Tarleton State is playing the number 20 ranked team in the country, so they also could suffer a defeat in that number six spot today. First down for Malone. Justin Davis, the carry straight through the middle, tackled by Brad McCurdy, but not before Davis picks up 11 yards. But here in this final weekend, there's a lot of people sweating out those final seedings and final scores from today's action.
Yeah, in terms of how it's going to affect Ohio Dominican, it won't really have any effect in terms of where we might be seated, but it will have an effect on who will play. And the interesting game circled on the calendar today is the Grand Valley-Saginaw Valley game. Of course, we beat Grand Valley, and Saginaw Valley have yet to play.
That's the end of the first quarter. The most points in a quarter this year scored by the Panthers, 23. They lead Malone 23-6 after one here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
At Sunbury Road Dairy Queen, we value our customers as well as our neighbors. In addition to being proud supporters of Panther Athletics, we host car washes for youth football, initiated an attendance incentive for Mifflin Middle School, and began a summer work internship with a local community house. Stop by for a blizzard treat at Dairy Queen on Sunbury Road, just north of Ohio Dominican University. Remember, it's not fast food, it's fan food.
This is Charlie Davis back in the St. Gabriel Catholic Radio Studios. And right now, a 28-yard touchdown pass from Heath Parling to Jamie Potts is the difference as Grand Valley State leads Saginaw Valley State 7-6 with 13:37 to go in the second quarter. Let's now head back out to Foster Stadium and rejoin Todd Bell and Matt Natale.
Thank you very much, Charlie. As boy, that one is tight early on, Grand Valley and Saginaw Valley, and that's what we were just talking about, Matt, as we start our second quarter here. Pioneers now going right to left, have it at their own 32, and they will hand it off, and boy, nothing doing here on this play. It'll be second down and long coming up now for Malone. Actually, that ended up being Eckert keeping it on the play, but for Ohio Dominican to know that you you certainly have to take care of business here today, but you're already out to a 23-6 lead over a 2-8 team. To be able to sit back and be able to relax today and know that one way, shape, form, or another, you're in with a win here today, and nothing should change in terms of hosting a playoff game. But with some of those other teams, it's going to be a long day for them. Second down and nine. Eckert will throw over here to the near side. Turner's got the catch ahead to the 40, 35, and out to the 40, where the play finally ends there. Omame coming back on the play will make the tackle, but Malone will pick up another first down.
Of course, Todd, if you're Ohio Dominican, you're kind of rooting for Grand Valley State because that would give you the outright GLIAC championship.
Right.
If Saginaw Valley pulls it off, we'd be co-champions with them, and it'd be kind of nice to get be the lone survivor at the top of the mountain after today, although it's hard to cheer for Grand Valley State. but there's that implication with it as well.
First down and 10, Pioneers. Football back near the 41-yard line. They trail 23-6. McLaughlin comes in motion, and it is Nidweasel going to get the carry, and he ran right into a full boatload of Sidney Omame, who makes the tackle. Nidweasel projected to be out of today's game, but then was warming up, and now he's going to limp off the field. So perhaps that'll be his one carry for the day, or maybe he's not hurt at all. Maybe he said, wait a minute, these guys on defense are big and fast and strong, and I'm supposed to be hurt, so I'm going to just check out. But he does toss the helmet.
He's was
frustrated that he couldn't stay out there. He got one play in, and that was all he could do. Second down and 12 now as Eckert will hand it off, and Davis, boy, this time he's going to be swarmed under by Harrison and Culbertson, and it'll be third down after a tackle for loss there. And you know darn well, partner, that the pride of this defense and what they have done in the second half of, well, I mean, all season long, but really putting the clamps down as of late, being driven on like they were last possession by Malone. Coach Cummings group a little gut check right now.
Yeah, and the thing is, Todd, is you got a sophomore, two redshirt freshmen, a freshman, and another sophomore up there. So the future is bright for that defensive line, and it's sort of been the anchor here, I would say, towards the second half of the season.
Third down and about 14 yards to go now for Malone. They need the Panthers 48. Eckert going to look to throw. They set up a screen. Anthony Smith has got him, but unfortunately he got him by the helmet. Not a whole lot that he could do. He just reached out and ended up getting the ear hole of Brandon Eckert, the quarterback. And certainly not intentional on the face mask, but unfortunately for him, just where the hand ended up on that play. It was going to be a great sack,
but it'll
be a personal foul and a first down here.
Would have been a loss of about 18 yards, but unfortunately when you're getting pursuit like that and you're going to grab at things and you get caught on face masks and ear holes and things of that nature, I think even all the way up here, that kind of made my neck hurt.
So it'll take it all the way to the 47-yard line. First down and 10 now for the Pioneers. They trail by a score of 23-6 with 12:28 to play in our second quarter of action. And there'll be two in the backfield with Brandon Eckert, the quarterback, out of the shotgun. He'll look to throw. He's got Turner over the middle, but he sails it high, and McCurdy almost had an interception. Made a diving attempt, but Turner could not have been more open over the middle, and he just sailed it right over his head.
Yeah, I thought for sure that was going to be a Panthers ball going back the other way. Unfortunately, it was just out of the reach of Brad McCurdy. And I don't know, maybe ball slipped out of his hand or something, but he was wide open right over there in the seam and just weren't able to connect.
Again, not a lot of touch on the football for junior Brandon Eckert. Second down from the 47-yard line. McLaughlin comes in motion, and Eckert will give to Davis up the middle. Another nice little run through the middle, and will make his way to the 40. So that'll be a gain of about 7. Kind of an option-style offense, something unique that the Panthers really haven't seen very much of. And that fullback, Davis, is getting some nice creases up the middle.
Yeah, unfortunately, when you run an option-style offense like that, you have to be pretty crisp at it. And we saw the one scoring drive from Malone, and they look pretty good on that one. But the overall package here so far is it doesn't really seem to be clicking too well for them.
Third down and 3. And Eckert will keep. Option left. Keeps it up the hole. He's got the first down as he is hit at the 31 by Shields and McCurdy. And, boy, the Panthers right now, in terms of the option play, not getting all three phases covered right now.
No, and I think Eckert right there on that play expected to carry it and keep it the entire way. That traditional option offense came out here to the near side, out to the left, and he had it tucked the whole way. There was no way he was going to pitch that one.
First down and 10, Pioneers football at the Ohana Medican 30. ODU leads 23-6, closing in on 11 minutes to play in the second quarter. Empty backfield here for Brandon Eckert with three receivers to his right. Takes the snap, throws to his left. Phillips the catch, pivots back at the 20-yard line, and will be down at the 17. So you've got Sawicki and Akins in there on the tackle, but another good throw, and Phillips a good run after the catch.
Jordan Phillips is the team leader here in receptions, 5'10", 170-pound freshman. A freshman leading the team in receptions, 16.9 per catch and 6 touchdowns.
From the 17-yard line, it'll be first down and 10, Malone. Two receivers left, two in the backfield, and Eckert will look to throw. He will come to the left, and it is dropped. A.T. Turner was open as he sat down in that zone. Throw carried him to his right, and then he just didn't make the catch.
Turner was open for about a day and a half down there, too, and it wasn't like Eckert was getting rushed too hard out there, but I guess he just didn't see him right away, and by the time he was able to get rid of the ball, there was some pressure and kind of missed through it, and wasn't able to hook up for the reception, but Turner was wide open the entire play.
10:28 clock stops, second quarter, second down and 10 for Malone at the ODU 17-yard line. Panthers with four on the defensive line. Quarterback draw for Eckert. Scrambles to his right to the 10 and hit down near the first down marker at the 8. Brandon Eckert, he is a quality running quarterback. He makes a decision, hits the hole hard, and it'll be third down and short now for Malone.
Yeah, Eckert had that big run on the scoring drive we saw in the first quarter to get down into goal line territory and then was able to get into the end zone. And if I'm Ohio Dominican Panthers defensive coaching staff right now, I'm queuing in on him.
Third and short. It's Davis, the fullback. He's got the first down. Then he fumbles the football right at the goal line. It is a pile. Panthers say they have it. Cody Culbertson dove on top of it, but I don't know if they recovered him, too. Panthers are coming off the field in spite of no official signal. Now there is. It'll be Ohio Dominican football inside the one-yard line, and it is Cody Culbertson who comes up with the football.
Yeah, the ball popped out there, and I was worried. I think it looked like Dan Moore, the linebacker, was going to hop in there and recover it in the end zone, which, of course, would have been a touchdown. And but the Panthers were Johnny on the spot and were able to recover the – they were calling that it was their ball right away, immediately. And unfortunately, it's not great field position, but fortunately, the Pioneers didn't score. So we'll take that, and that's a big win for the defense, which was kind of getting pushed around a little bit on that drive.
Brad McCurdy will get credit for forcing the fumble, and then the recovery from Cody Culbertson. So it'll be first down Panthers with the nose of the football inside the one-yard line. And we've got lots of whistles, and a timeout's going to be used here by Ohio Dominican. 9:45 to play, second quarter. Timeout on the field, 23-6, Ohio Dominican on top, here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Education First Credit Union is dedicated to the financial needs of the faculty, staff, and students of Ohio Dominican University, as well as teachers and school employees throughout the education community in Ohio. We offer great rates on loans and savings products, including some just for educators. Check us out on the web at educu.org to learn about the 30 Central Ohio branches and 50 free ATMs that make Education First Credit Union so convenient. Federally insured by the NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
More score updates from the St. Gabriel Catholic Radio Studios. Wayne State and Michigan Tech tied at 7 with 4:40 to go in the second quarter. And we have a score in the Battle of the Valleys game. Saginaw Valley just taking a 13-7 lead over Grand Valley with 11:06 to go in the second quarter because of a 19-yard rushing touchdown by Cardinals quarterback Jonathan Jennings. Now let's go head back out to Fawcett Stadium and rejoin Todd Bell and Matt Natale.
Battle there between the two valleys. And here it is Ohio Dominican on top by the score of 23-6. 9:45 to play here in the second quarter. And Ohio Dominican with a possession starting inside its own one-yard line here. And they wanted to take a timeout, just make sure everybody's on the right page. They don't want to make a mistake right here. And so they will use their first timeout. And it'll be Mark Miller working out of the pistol formation. Brandon Schoen will line up behind him, two receivers to the left. Miller now watching the Malone linebackers dance around. Marks out the signal. Still 12 on the play clock. Now takes it and will look to throw on first down. Looking down the left sideline for Casey Williams. This ball hangs up and it's incomplete. And Casey Williams did the best defensive back job that you could do right there, keeping that ball from being intercepted.
Yeah, Casey Williams and Ronald McLeod streaking down the field there on the left side. And I guess Mark Miller could have gone for either one. I thought Ronald McLeod was a little bit more open. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he saw with the Casey Williams pass, but took a shot downfield on first down. We're still backed up on the goal line.
Same formation now. Second down and 10 from the 1. Shown straight forward. Only going to get out to the 3. So he is banged out on the play. Third down coming up now as Austin Carey will make the tackle for Malone. And it'll be third down and 8 yards to go now for the Panthers here on offense. Wasn't surprised to see him throw there on first down. They've had confidence, and you mentioned the number earlier on, only allowing 4 sacks this year. This is one of the best in the country. And so they have confidence they can throw out of their own end zone. They'll hand it to Schoen here. He'll move forward to the 5 and fall down at the 8. And he's 3 yards short of the first down, and not a whole lot the Panthers could do, but when you look statistically, Matt, coming into this possession, they had scored on 13 of their last 16 possessions, and one of those was at the end of the game against Lake Erie last week when they took a knee. So really, on possessions they tried to score, it was 13 out of 15 before this three and out right here, and you can almost fault them here because they had the ball inside their own one.
Right.
And Mikey Snyder out to punt for the first time today, averaging 36 per kick. Tyler Hayes snaps it. A little bit of pressure, and Snyder gets a nice spiraling kick away that'll be fielded back at the 45-yard line and down right there. So good punt coverage by ODU. Good job by Snyder to deliver it downfield. And Malone will start at the Ohio Dominican 45-yard line for this possession. They trail 23-6 with 8:22 to play in the first half.
Yeah, it's an important possession right here, Todd, for the Ohio Dominican defense. If you're up 23-6 here with 8:22 left in the second quarter, you kind of want to get a stop here. Hopefully not allow Malone to score here to make it a 23-13 or 23-14 game. Get them right back in it. If you can get a stop here and get the ball back with maybe a little bit better field position than the last series, you could maybe try to make an effort to get into the end zone again.
First down and 10 from the 44-yard line. McLaughlin will circle all the way to this near side of the field, and they will hand it off. And that'll be Davis with a short run up the middle. With that 2-yard gain, this will be hard to believe, partner, but with the Panthers leading 23-6, total offense is even at 146 yards apiece. Panthers had short field twice on their opening two scoring drives.
Well, there's a combination of the short fields and then the long scoring drive by Malone, the only scoring drive by Malone.
Second down and 8 now for the Pioneers, right to left at the Panther 42. And Eckert will hand it off to Justin Davis again, bounces off a couple of Panthers, but somebody's got a hold of his legs, and that's Warren Shields and wouldn't let go. Davis picks up 3. It'll be 3rd and about 3.5 coming up now for Malone.
Yeah, I'd imagine the Ohio Dominican defense on this play, it looks like Malone, as they try to hurry it up, is wants to get a stop here as the last series. They kind of got taken advantage of a couple times on third down, and check that on the hurry up. They're all looking towards the sideline again like they have been the entire game.
They need to get to the 34 for a first down. They'll have two receivers to the right of Eckert and one over here to the near side. They run option to the left. The pitch out here to Davis. He's got it, and a first down to the 33-yard line. Sidney Omame, the defensive end, came out, took away the quarterback, but nobody to cover the pitch man, and another first down for Malone.
Yeah, nice block by Damian Russell there on Billy Akins. Borderline hold, but they'll let them play that one out and kind of open it up to break the runner open and get the first down.
And the chain gang. I see. They've actually spotted the football back to the 34.5. Looked like he was out of bounds a little further downfield. The chain gang on the far side of the field thought the same thing. They had already moved to single first down. But now that they've reset the chains, they may bring them out to measure. Or are they going to say it's fourth down? No. Now they're going to say it's first down, and they're going to move the chain without measuring or anything. There's a lot of that doesn't make any sense to me right now.
Where's Waldo?
He's on the board down here on the
right.
Play board. That's right. First down and 10. Football near the 34-yard line for Malone. 6:58 to play in the first half. Hard count by Eckert. Panthers hold their ground, and now they'll look to the near sideline here for the play. Eckert will have a receiver here to the near side, 2 to the right, ball left hash mark with Justin Davis behind him, and now McLaughlin circles into the backfield. Fake the handoff, and Sidney Omame says, thank you, I'll sack you right here. Eckert turned and looked, and Omame was right in his face.
Yeah, Omame putting together a nice little game for himself here today, although he's checking out off the field right now, kind of favoring
his right arm a little bit.
Right arm, yeah. Hopefully he'll be okay because he's been living in that Malone backfield all day today.
Second down, loss of about 3 on the play. Two receivers right again. Eckert will give to Davis this time. He says, I'm not holding on to that football any more than I have to. And Davis will carry for two, and it'll be third down and 11. Well, they've had a couple of sustained drives here as of late.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the last possession was actually extended on a face-masking penalty that almost turned into 7 points for Malone. They go quick here. Quarterback's going to keep. Eckert now with a forward pitch and out of bounds. An official says he stepped out all the way back at the 33. That pitch was clearly forward and beyond the line of scrimmage. And I think there's some confusion on the officials. No flag has been thrown. The official was ready to mark it out of bounds at the 33, and now they're marking it all the way down at the 23.
Yeah, I think... Shoot. I think we just got host on that one, Todd. Where's the line of scrimmage and a pitch forward?
Where's my officials observer that we sat and talked to for an hour during the lightning delay against Walsh when they had the controversial touchdown erasing call against Brandon Schoen? I know he's in the house. I got to go talk to him right now.
Where's Coach Conley on this one? Is he throwing a headset
yet? How calm he is right now. Very un-Coach Conley-like.
Maybe it was because on this side of the field.
He's trying to get the attention of one of the officials who will have none of it right now. So, it'll be first down at Malone. Sodexo Education, the official dining and facilities partner of Ohio Dominican University, is a proud sponsor of the Black and Gold Club and Panther Athletics. Sodexo is the leading provider of food and facilities management services in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico, serving 10 million customers in 6,000 locations every day. Sodexo Education and the Panthers, a winning team. ...23-6 in favor of Ohio Dominican here in the second quarter. Coming up at halftime in our Panther Spotlight today, we will visit with Ohio Dominican head men's soccer coach Willie Merrick as the soccer team will embark on their first ever NCAA tournament game tomorrow at Panther Field at 1 o'clock as they will take on Lewis. And we'll talk to him about the Panthers GLIAC tournament championship season. Coming up at halftime in our Panther Spotlight, 5:29 to play. What's really confusing to me is that the Malone coaches are the ones over here talking to the officials.
Yeah.
They just got the benefit of a call, and they're doing all the talking. And there's also an official on the far sideline talking with Coach Conley.
Trying to explain the rugby pass that got Malone the first down.
Hmm. Fortunately, the Panthers have a 17-point lead right now, and that call shouldn't cause any further damage other than give Malone a first down. Football at the 23-yard line. McLaughlin in motion, circles into the backfield. Handoff will be to Justin Davis, and the fullback will move forward for three.
Justin Davis is
buried under by Luke Carruthers on that Panther defensive line, redshirt freshman out of Pickerington North. It'll be second down and eight now, coming up for Malone. Panthers winning the GLIAC South. They actually were able to secure that during that 16-day layoff that they had between the Panthers game against Finley and their contest at Tiffin, and have a full three-game lead over Finley. Second down and eight. Eckert looks to throw, steps forward. Penalty markers are down, so is Eckert. As Sidney Omame back in there will bring him down at the 18-yard line. He and Carruthers are in there on the tackle for ODU, but this is going to be holding against Malone and bring the football backwards.
It's good to see Omame back in there, mm-hmm. Todd, after checking out with what appeared to be a right side injury, is what we could call that. But probably just got a little banged up on that sack that he had, and good to see him back in there.
So it'll be second and 18 now. Ball comes all the way back to the 31-yard line. Clock down to 4.5 minutes to play in our second quarter. And they'll run speed option to the right. Eckert, the quarterback, will keep, and he's out to the 25. Even if he had wanted to pitch, he couldn't, because that play was blown up on the outside of the play and did nothing but force him forward. So Eckert did the best he could, got six. It'll be third down and 12.
It seems like I don't have the stats in front of me right now, Todd, but Malone's done pretty well here on third down today. And here they are.
I hope you're right. Yeah, they are 6 out of 9.
Third down and 12.
They're even in third down and long situation, so another important down for the Panthers defense.
They've run a lot of clock here on this possession, over 4 minutes. Third down, Eckert, near side, ball pops out. Omame hit him, the ball squirts free, but I think Malone's going to recover it at the 21-yard line. Eckert came around the corner and didn't have the ball secured, and Omame just popped it out. And Cody Culbertson was trying to get to it for his second fumble recovery, but he was just a hair second late. And it'll be all the way to the 21, so they'll pick up 4, and it'll be 4th and 8.
It's kind of a ground ball up the middle as everybody was scrambling for it. And that shortstop, Culbertson, wasn't able to suck it in there. So 4th down, be interesting to see what happens here. Looks like they're going to keep the offense on the field and try to get the first down here as we approach 3 minutes left in the first half.
They're going to have to call a timeout here. The play clock's at 2. It's at 1. I was the only one who knew that. And finally, at the last instant, someone on the sidelines went rushing to the official and got the timeout. So Malone will call time. We'll pause as well. 2:58 to play, second quarter. 23-6, Panthers on top on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
As an athlete, there's nothing more exciting than throwing a touchdown pass or hitting that game-winning three-pointer. But an injury can occur in an instant. Ohio Dominican University knows you want to get back into action. That's why ODU is excited to partner with experts in Nationwide Children's Hospital Sports Medicine, who are specially trained in the prevention, diagnosis, and treatment of injuries in recreational, competitive, and elite athletes. Together, we're committed to giving every athlete the opportunity to perform at the highest and healthiest level. Learn more at ohiodominican.edu.
This is Charlie Daniels back in the St. Gabriel Catholic Radio Studios. They have gone to halftime. Hillsdale leading Northwood 14-0. And because of a 6-yard touchdown pass to Jamie Potts, Grand Valley has retaken the lead over Saginaw Valley. They lead the Cardinals 14-13 with 7:50 to go in the second quarter. Now back out to Fawcett Stadium where we rejoin Todd Bell and Matt Natale.
All right, Charlie, thank you. 2:58 to play here, and a 4th down play for the Pioneers. And Eckert's going to roll to his right, looks to throw, downfield, chased by Harrison, just chucks it up for grabs in the end zone, and it's incomplete. Someone from the Panthers caught it, but they were out of bounds. It was Justin Bell, but either way, the Panthers are going to get the football out near the 23-yard line. It's actually an advantage that they didn't get called for credit for the interception.
Right. If Justin Bell had pulled that down with within the white stripes there, it would be back to backed up against our own goal line once again. And as it is now, though, we're at a 20-yard line, 21-yard line. They're going to spot it. And 2:50 left in the first half. Have a chance to kind of march down the field and get some more points. The offense doesn't look too great here in the second quarter. And going in at halftime would be a whole lot nicer to have a 30-6 lead than a 23-6 lead.
It's only the second possession in the second quarter for the Panthers. They started inside their own one and went 3 and out. And now have it at the 21. And Mark Nichols will get the carry. And he'll move forward near the 25-yard line. Officials blow the play dead in spite of Mark still moving forward, and now they will throw a flag.
Mark Nichols, the ball carrier.
And whatever was going on after the whistle is going to result in a penalty against someone here. Well, let's see. So Malone's going to get called for the penalty, so it'll be a 4-yard run, tack on 15 at the end, and the Panthers will have it first down out near the 40-yard line.
And the Panthers still have 2 timeouts left here to play with on this drive. Let's try to get some more points on the board.
What had some sunshine in the first quarter has turned into a very overcast day. There's a slight chance of some rain tonight. But as of right now, we are in good shape. First down and 10 for the Panthers. Nichols will sweep to the left. Gets up at the 40 and bangs his way out to the 44-yard line. Clock rolling, 2:25 to play in the first half. And Ohio Dominican still on top, 23-6.
On the tackle for the Pioneers for not brought front.
And no scoring here in the second quarter.
Anthony Garcia.
After the Panthers scored 3 offensive touchdowns, blocked an extra point, and returned it for 2 points. Second down and 7 now for the Panthers with 2 minutes to play in the half. Johnson and Williams over here to the near side. McLeod to the left. with Nichols behind Miller, who takes a knee-high snap. Plenty of time. Swings it out to Nichols, and he overshoots him, incomplete. Mark was leading him downfield, and Nichols was kind of swinging out to the sidelines. And it'll be third and seven now for ODU.
Yeah, that's one of the very similar type of play that Malone ran a couple times there on their scoring drive, where they've got him coming out here, and it's a tough pass for a quarterback to make coming out of the backfield like that. You kind of got to draw him out to get positive yards. Mark Nichols got a hand on it, but unfortunately was unable to reel it in.
ODU will need to get to the 50 here for a first down. Ronnell Spates has checked into the backfield with Mark Nichols. Three receivers, two to the right for Miller. They'll play action pass. Mark looking downfield. Home run ball for Casey Williams down the middle of the field, up into the air. Did he hang on? He did at the 15-yard line. Another ball that kind of hung up in the wind, but Casey Williams was able to fend off the defender and make the catch.
I was actually surprised the way the ball hung up there, that the defender didn't get a better read on it and a better play on it.
First down and 10 for the Panthers now at the 15-yard line. And they'll sweep it left now to Mark Nichols. Cuts back at the 15, slides through inside the 10, and he'll be down near the 9-yard line with a minute and a half to go. And Casey Williams will hobble off, and he'll be replaced by Nick McKnight. And, boy, Dez Stewart left the game earlier a little bit hobbled, and he has not returned since. Second down and four now for the Panthers inside the 10. Nichols again, straight up the middle, into the end zone for his third first-half touchdown. This one will be good for 9 yards, his second 9-yard TD of the day.
Yeah, Todd, that's exactly what we were talking about at the beginning of the drive, just kind of get down the field. We had plenty of time left, two timeouts to extend the lead to go into halftime. It's 29-6 here, pending the point after attempt. And, you know, all set up by that long pass by Mark Miller to get them down the field and give the opportunity to Mark Nichols to tote the ball into the end zone again.
Wally's extra point is on the way, and it is good. And with 1:08 to play now in the first half, Ohio Dominican leads by a score of 30-6. And now Mark Miller is 6 of 10 passing for 126 yards in the first half. That's a pretty good per completion average right there. That pass play to Casey Williams was good for 42 yards. Des Stewart has a catch of 47 on the day. So the Panthers, again, getting some big plays on offense. Have gotten big plays from special teams today with two, you call them block punts, but they just got hands on them. The punt actually ended up going forward and then blocked an extra point that turned into 2 points, and have a 30-6 lead here with 68 seconds to go in the first half. So Wally will be kicking the football away. Coming into last week, he only had 3 touchbacks. With that crazy wind, he had 4 last week alone. 7 on the season, and we'll kick off here, and he'll boot it along the ground. Takes a nice high hop, fielded at the 30, and downfield Colton Skinner on special teams will make the tackle for ODU. So let's see what Malone chooses to do now with the football at the 35-yard line. And they have 1 timeout left. So the Pioneers, 2-8 on the season, looking to come out here on the field, and at least offensively, they'll line up in a normal formation. They'll have 2 receivers to the right, Justin Davis, the back in the backfield. He's had an 83-yard rushing day thus far for the Pioneers. On first down, Eckert will look to throw off to the right and incomplete. He was looking for Davis as he was shooting down, or not, I beg your pardon, McLaughlin, as he was shooting right down the seam. And that incomplete pass will stop the clock with 59 seconds to play in the half and bring up second down and 10. Second down play coming up. Two receivers over here to the near side. Davis will line up behind the quarterback. And it'll be Eckert looking to throw, and he'll do so. And it is caught by Ricardo Bell. And Bell will make the catch, and he's out over the 45-yard line. And that'll be good for a first down for Malone. So the Pioneers will scramble back to the line of scrimmage. Two receivers off to the right, one over here to the near side. And it'll be Eckert. Swings another one off to the right, deflected by Cody Culbertson, and incomplete. And it'll bring up second down. And, boy, Matt, there is that defense of Ohio Dominican, Cody Culbertson, getting his hands on that pass.
Yeah, we've seen a nice performance here by Cody Culbertson today. Of course, had the fumble recovery, almost had another one, and had that pass breakup right there. He's, you know, as expected, he's had a tremendous season and hasn't let up today.
Second down and 10, football back at their own 47-yard line. Eckert just fumbled a football. It bounced right back up to him and now runs downfield and tackled hard by Warren Shields at the 50. And I think ODU has called a timeout, and they have. They still had two remaining. And with 32 seconds to go, the Panthers will burn their second one. Hey, Matt, down there, since you're down on the field, will you help out the grounds crew a little bit? Pick up those pylons and put them up, will you?
Yeah, I'm over here on the far side of the end zone, and there's three pylons, three out of six. We're batting 500. That's not too bad.
Now, help out a little bit over there, will you? How is the wind down on the field?
It's actually pretty calm down here, Todd. Down at the far end zone, we see some flags kind of flying around on the goalposts, but... for right now, it's pretty calm. There's just about as mild as you could get as far as the breeze goes. A little chilly out here in this November Ohio weather.
I work with the softest radio partner that's ever been. 32 seconds to go. I get my weekly Friday tech. Looks like it's going to be a cold one on Saturday. Sunshine and 60. All right, so we don't have sunshine and 60 today, but it's not cold. All right.
No, it's actually quite comfortable down here, Todd. Just to answer your question, just the slightest of breeze.
Third down and 7 coming up now for the Pioneers from the 50-yard line. Davis will line up behind Eckert, and he will give to Davis, and this time hit at the line of scrimmage, and Omame with another tackle, and the Panthers.
Davis on the carry.
After using a timeout on the previous play, don't call timeout here. And now it'll be fourth down for Malone. They don't have to run a play as the play clock is off, but they're going to run one anyways with 7 seconds. Eckert will hand it off to Davis. He'll be met and fall forward for a first down, which will stop the clock with 2 seconds. And then Malone may now call a timeout. What just happened?
Obviously, they're not going to just try to kick the field goal.
My goodness. So, Malone will use their last timeout with 2 seconds remaining. Coming up at halftime, it'll be Charlie Danis back at the St. Gabriel Catholic Radio Studios, and he'll have scores from around the GLIAC, Division I football, and I don't think there's anything else in our region other than Grand Valley and Saginaw Valley in that Super Region 4 that is going on. Pueblo's got a game at 4 o'clock today against Western State. Indianapolis is playing Truman State at 4 o'clock. They could lose that game, too. Truman State 7-3. And then Tarleton State taking on North Alabama. And I believe that game maybe is underway. The number 6 team in the region. And again, as we talked about it earlier, a lot of activity is going to happen behind the Panthers today in Super Region 4. The way it looks today is certainly not the way it's going to look tomorrow. Maybe the top three, perhaps, but after that, it could look drastically different. All right, so 2 seconds to go. Football at the 41 of ODU. Malone for the final play of the first half. Ohio Dominican has 4 on the line of scrimmage. Then Warren Shields is about 7 yards from the line, and then everybody else is 20 yards downfield. Eckert will drop back. Panthers get pressure on him, hit him from behind. Ball comes out. It's going to be scooped up by Paul Wesselhoff, who recovers his 3rd fumble of the season. And the half will end on a sack and a fumble recovery for the Panther defense. 30-6 in favor of Ohio Dominican here at halftime. They had their biggest scoring output for a quarter, putting 23 on the board in the first. The offense with another solid first half, 3 rushing touchdowns for running back Mark Nichols, and the Panthers now are 30 minutes away from perfection in a 10-0 season. 30-6 in favor of Ohio Dominican as we hit Matt Natale down on the sidelines with head coach Bill Conley. Go ahead, Matt.
Coach, 30-6 here at halftime. What kind of things have you seen out of the team so far? I know they had a couple offensive possessions in the second quarter, but what are you going to be focusing on here at halftime?
No, first of all, we got to stop their option run. And mainly it's been a give. It's to the fullback. So we got to start a halfback. We got to stop that part of it. And, you know, the quarterback's outside a little bit on the option two keep, but that's primarily it. You know, the fortunate thing is we create a lot of turnovers, had some block kicks and things like that. So overall, we're playing well and we're moving the ball well. We just got to make sure we get the ball a little more and keep it away from their offense because they do a great job of keeping control of the clock.
Good luck in the second half, Coach.
Thank you.
30-6 in favor of Ohio Dominican here at halftime as we go back to the studios and Charlie Dennis at St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Charlie.